dive deep into the realm of large language models, prompt engineering, and best practices. With over 25 years of combined AI and product engineering experience, here are your hosts, Bradley Arsenault and Justin Makarin.
Hey, Justin.
Hello, Brad.
Justin, you remember in, I think it was 2022, you came to visit me down when I was living in California, and I was super excited because I had just started using GitHub Copilot, and I was, you were a little bit skeptical, and
Brad, I remember it like if it was yesterday. First of all, not only did we go to amazing restaurants, but what you showed me was spectacular. And I still remember, you're like, Justin, you know, let me show you this really cool tool called, you know, GitHub Copilot. And I didn't really believe you. And you showed it to me. And you basically wrote this comment, you know, hashtag, generate a function that can give you the weather for any given city.
Yeah.
And we waited maybe 2-3 seconds and poof, a function appeared magically. And it was a very nice function, nice Python function with the attributes, with the API call. I think there was error handling, like try
catch. Had a doc string. It beautiful. Commented everything.
It had everything, and I pretty much almost pushed you out of the way to try it myself. Right? I'm like, all right, like what else can we do with this? And I think I probably like generated like 10 functions within the span of like 5 minutes, and I knew that this is a tool that I would be using as an engineer probably for the rest of my life. I guess today it's almost something that's a part of me. I use it every single day. It accelerates my productivity by 30-50%. And I can't really see myself going back to any other way. This is the new way of engineering.
In fact, every time my internet connection cuts out and I can no longer use Copilot, I immediately know. I'm like, oh crap, it's not, why is it not generating? Oh my God, what am I gonna do? I'm gonna have to write all this code manually. This seems exhausting.
same
so
here.
Important.
And it's interesting because like normally, you know, when my internet went down, I'd normally go to google.com to check if it's able to connect to the internet.
Yeah.
But because I'm coding, now whenever it's not generating code, I know that there may be, you know, a connectivity problem on my internet.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess an interesting thing would be, you know, to maybe dive deeper into how we use AI today to kind of help improve our productivity.
Yeah.
When it comes to building, you know, source code applications.
For me personally, the way that I use Copilot, and now I've tried a few other AI assistants, well, it's really evolved. Back in 2022, the kind of groove that I got into, I used it in two situations. One, like most of my programming, what I would do is I would write a comment. I'd be like, oh, make this API request. And then it generates some code. Then I'm like, make another comment. I'll be like, okay, you're going to validate the API request in this way. Generate some code. Okay, now it does this with the response data. Generate some code. So I was kind of like, comment code, comment code, comment code. And then the other situation is just like when you're doing something really tedious, like you're like filling in a giant JSON data block. And, you know, you have the first three entries and you just hit enter and it just generates the rest of them. And that was always so brilliant. It did the super tedious, most annoying tasks. Is that how you got started? Did you ever do that sort of comment generate technique that I started with in 2022?
I'd say that it's still one of the techniques that I use the most. And maybe, you know, I use those comments to generate functions that are maybe a little bit more complex or tedious. But most of my functions or most of the comments that I write are mostly to like name a function or to do a certain data manipulation, you know, to reverse a list or, you know, something mm-hmm. quite simple that maybe, you know, would require me to go to Stack Overflow, or maybe me typing a few extra keys. Now I just write a comment. Yeah. Makes my code a lot more readable, right? I know what I'm doing. And it also makes me think a little bit more about the solution before I just go out and code, which I think also increases the quality of source code.
So are you saying that you're using it to generate a lot of sort of those algorithmic kind of like pure data manipulation functions, you know, like padding a string, is stuff that's not in the standard library, but also like you need because they're common requirements?
Yeah, that. And I guess another thing that I use a lot of as well is just for scaffold. So, you know, we could build.
Tell me more about this.
Flask or express.js apps with a command line interface. We basically describe, you know, the CRUD operations, the names of a certain object or class, you know, person, user, car, whatever. And it basically generates these files. But now, you know, I just feel like it's a lot easier just to do it with Copilot, where maybe I put in a comment, I say, hey, you know, create a Flask app or create, you know, CRUD routes for a person, right? And then it's not going to be perfect, but then I could go into every function and kind of make it my own.
So you kind of start with like, here's just a high level concept. I just want a rough draft, just like, give me a Flask app with an API that does this. Enter. Boom. And then you kind of look at it. It's definitely not what you want, but at least it did some of the boilerplate, some of the setup. It got you started.
Yeah. Got me started.
I remember the days when we used to like get, you remember those boilerplate repos? Like, and it's like, it would have like Node.js and MongoDB, and you would just clone it. And it was just like like had nothing else. It was just literally like, here's a repo. Like of a basic scaffolding app. Now we don't need to do that anymore. Now it's just like, okay, generate me a repo that does that.
Yeah. And I guess, you know, I think the way I use GitHub Copilot or even just like AI in general is very different when I start building off an application initially. And so right now I'm a part of the innovation team at Seismic, which, you know, enables me to build out applications from scratch very often. So when I build out an application from scratch, ChatGPT is my go-to to just get something built out very, very quickly, immediately. When I'm working with an application that's a little bit more complex or that's, you know, maybe it was built 2, 3, 4, 5 years ago, I find myself using comments a lot more. And more like function-based comments or even inside a function, a lot more bespoke versus just, you know, do this very general thing. And that's what I find works well.
So as you've been scaling up, you're saying you have to provide more detailed instructions to the AI for it to generate correctly. Is that what you're saying?
Maybe not more detailed, because I think it's also relatively good at getting context correct. But I think that where it's being generated definitely matters. So just writing the comment at the right spot. And I think that's something that maybe Copilot or ChatGPT isn't the best at just yet, especially when we're taking a look at like a file of maybe 300, 400, 500 lines of source code, where the more lines of code you got, the more, you know, memory loss the large language model has, which means that now you have a problem. You can't just copy paste, you know, your 500 lines of code in ChatGPT, and
But I actually find that this has been not, it's kind of a blessing in disguise. So, and I'll tell you why. The limitations of ChatGPT's ability to generate code has actually biased me towards making smaller, more modular classes, because now the way that I lay out my work in my brain is sort of like, okay, I'm going to need a module that does that. I'm going to need a module that does that and that does that. And I'm going to use that prompt to generate that file. I'm going to use that prompt to generate that file. And so in fact, it has allowed me to write code that's objectively better code, because it's more broken up. It's more specific. It's more readable. And the limitation of ChatGPT. It can't do a 100-line function. Neither can a human. A human also suffers when they read a 100-line function. You know what I mean? So it by shrinking everything down to make it good for ChatGPT, it's also objectively better code for humans as well.
I think that's a good point. I think that, you know, this new style of writing source code kind of forces us to think about the problem beforehand. So it helps us think about the problem through, right? Before we even write source code, we need to write that comment. So it kind of forces us to think maybe 2-3 steps ahead. And I think absolutely, I think that that leads to significantly better code, smaller functions, more modular applications. And that may also ultimately lead to Copilot or other AI systems kind of understanding your source code better and even helping you out more down the road.
I almost think that it's like that the code that we're generating, it's now more, it's less technical, and like the way that it reads and the emphasis on the function names and everything is more focused on the product requirements and like the behaviors that the user expects from the product. Like I find my code is actually more structured now, more along features and less along the technical aspects, partly because now I think about the code more in terms of the features than the technical aspects. ChatGPT is doing the technical stuff. And so in fact, this code, it's more readable and it's more aligned, I think, with the business side.
That's interesting. So you're basically saying that as an engineer or as a practitioner, you feel like your focus today is more on fulfilling product requirements versus the technicalities of source code.
100%. And it's actually translating to the source code being a somewhat different style and laid out a little bit differently, you know? And I think it's better. I guess I would have to get a third-party person to read my code and tell me objectively, but I find that the code, honestly, is some of the best code I've ever written in my entire life now with the AI assistance.
Honestly, I tend to agree. I've never written better code in my life. I feel like I'm using TDD, like test-driven development, significantly more. And I'm not even talking about, you know, writing out all the functions and then saying, oh, by the way, generate the tests. I'm literally starting off with the tests and based on the test, I'm generating the function. And it's literally magic. It's magical. We're moving fast, man.
The TDD is no longer tedious. That's what people's fear was it before, is they're like, oh, I hate writing tests. Oh, tests are boring, blah, blah, blah. You know, but like now it's just like, I just like select an existing test and I'm just like, give me another test, but checks for this behavior. And it should do this in this situation. Enter, spits out another test. Then I select it again. Okay, now do another variant of this test, but check for this behavior in this situation. Spits out another test. And then after like 8 or 9 of these, you can just select the whole file and be like, yo, give me a class that implements all this. And it works. Like it reverses back from the test to the function that you need.
I don't
do this all the time, but when it does, it's brilliant.
I guess, you know, another cool tool that I just started using is Copilot Chat. And this one of my friends, you know, he's been saying, hey, Justin, you got to install Copilot Chat. And somehow the button didn't appear on my VS Code console. Spent like 2 hours trying to figure it out. Finally, I got the button to appear, and I'm able to highlight source code and ask questions. I'm able to highlight source code, you know, let's say it's a JavaScript function. I'm able to highlight it and say, you know, convert it to TypeScript. Something that historically what I would do is I would copy paste those lines of source code, copy paste it, switch over to a different window, open up ChatGPT, right? Paste it in there. And then write my command. Now it's all done in the console, which I guess from a context switching perspective is a lot better.
It's a lot more convenient. And it's like, Stuff, I find that once in a while, it doesn't do this reliably, but once in a while, it'll be like, oh, I need to reference this other source code file. And I'm just like, you go, you smart little AI, you like, yes, reference that other source code file. But I find personally more often the way that I'm getting like more complex stuff out of it is that I kind of have to put together this like block with all of the relevant information.
Yeah.
Like I'll copy in the two data schemas that I care about, like a function that's like somewhat similar and like maybe like the API spec. And then I'll select all of that. It's not valid syntax, but I just select all of it within the file and I'll be like, yo, Copilot, like I need a function that takes that schema, converts it into that schema, applying this process and making that API call, enter. And bloop, spits out 30 or 40 lines, review it over. Okay, looks good. Then I just delete all of that code. I paste it in. So I kind of deal with that context window limit just by like badging in together all of the bits of source code I think are relevant and then have it generate out like an additional line. That seems to work pretty reliably.
So that's what I do, but I use that using ChatGPT, and I'm curious to learn because maybe this is a new discovery and maybe this is something that I haven't done before. Are you saying that you could select different functions in a single source code file and then ask ChatGPT something?
No, so what I'm doing is like let's say I have a function I care about. I will copy that to the end of the file and then also copy a bunch of bits, just random bits. Oh, here's a schema, here's this, and then just select it all. It doesn't make sense. It's not valid Python. It's just a block of text that I have prepared. It's like I'm prompt engineering, basically.
Yeah.
And prompt engineering, and these are all the relevant bits of information. Now generate me my source code, please.
Yeah, and so I'm pretty much doing the same thing, but I'm using ChatGPT instead. And I also found that while Copilot Chat can help for like smaller things, I feel like very often it loses context. Even within the same file, which is kind of aggravating. And by the way, we're recording this episode on January 30th of 2024. So maybe this is going to change next week. But I'm kind of forced to copy paste, you know, larger files or larger lines of code into ChatGPT-4. And I feel like it generates better results. So I'm not 100% sure yet about...
They definitely don't use 4 for the chat. I'm pretty sure they use 3.5 for the, like a fine-tuned version of 3.5.
So I guess from a product's perspective, right? We got Copilot, we got Copilot Chat, we got ChatGPT, we got, what, you got JetBrains going on?
I tried the JetBrains. It was interesting. So it also had like... You know how Copilot will just like spit out some text and then it's your job to like bring that into the file? JetBrains, they tried to go further where it's like it's actually just editing the file live in front of me. So I'll just be like, yo, refactor this file to do X, and it'll like start rewriting it. And then it's more integrated user interface wise. That's definitely the direction that it's going. But I also found that it just didn't quite fully work. It would sometimes glitch out and then like the file would be like a mangled version. You know, those things that result from two diffs that clashed they merged and you're just like, oh, this doesn't make sense. Like you didn't merge those diffs right.
I guess that's what I find
it happens sometimes.
A lesson learned over here would be if you're going to automatically change source code in a file, make sure it works and make sure the thing doesn't glitch.
Yeah. I understand why that's a difficult piece of code to write. Like it's the same as like doing real-time editing and real-time synchronization. Like the buggy, challenging problems. But like, once they solve it, I think that the JetBrains assistant could do really well. I want to discuss another one with you.
Go ahead.
Error handling. So I've gotten some mixed results with this. But I know a lot of people are doing this. They'll be like, here's some source code. Here's the stack trace I'm getting. Sort it out, ChatGPT. Like, where's the bug? Have you tried that?
Every day. All copy-paste source code lines and the stack trace. And I'd say that for the easier ones, it works quite well. For the more challenging ones, sometimes I need to give it maybe one or two or three iterations. And then for very complex ones, I actually need to do it manually, where I'll start putting in print and log statements into the source code and kind of trying to debug it from there.
So you're saying sometimes it outputs a, it like, here's what you should change. You change that, and then you get a new error, and you're like, yo, your fix didn't work. Here's a new error. And then, okay, I'm trying this. Okay, fix didn't work again. Yo, here's your new error. It's like, and it always says, I'm so sorry, I messed up.
I love how it says that. And so on the third or fourth iteration of that, if I notice that it's actually not getting it, what I'll do is in many cases, I'll just maybe like revert to the original source code, or maybe revert to the original plus one ChatGPT change. And then I'll just start debugging from there manually. But that being said, it still really is helpful for error handling. And just like blindly copy pasting the error seems to work relatively well.
I found it interesting that sometimes when it doesn't work, it'll get into like a loop where it has like three recommended solutions. None of them work. And it'll just like rotate between them as like, I'm like, okay, I'm getting an error. Then it goes back to solution one. Here's the error. Then it goes to solution two.
Yeah.
But when it works, it's nice. I find in my experience, I guess it's similar to yours, that like the errors that are easy for me to solve are also easy for ChatGPT to solve. And the real tough nuts, it'll invent a solution, but like it often does not work at all. It's often the solution code is like even worse than the original.
So I guess another interesting concept over here, maybe this is the last point we touch on because we are getting close to time, are all these new startups coming out of the woodwork. You know, where they maybe take a look at your historic Git commits, and based on the description of your Git commit, or maybe they also generate their own description to kind of figure out what that commit was all about. They kind of help you automate certain activities. So now when you put something in Jira, or, you know, your whatever, you know, ticket management solution you're using, this AI tool kind of reads what the requirement is and does its best shot at fixing or improving the source code editing.
And across multiple files, you're saying, like, it'll pair the entire change set that it thinks is appropriate for that commit.
Yeah.
I think that, I mean, that's where we're heading, ultimately. One challenge with that, though, I don't know if you've used Copilot to generate your commit messages.
Never. But
on that, it is atrocious. What I find is missing is that its commit messages always focus on like the technical specifics of what changed. Like, oh, you renamed this, or you moved that over there, you implemented a new function. Whereas what I want the commit message to be is more like, I implemented this feature. Like in its totality, not that I added this function or I added this commit or I added that API endpoint. It's like, I did this new feature. And so if you're using Copilot to generate your commit messages, they're going to be super technical. It that won't work as training data to like go from like a Jira ticket. You know what I mean?
So I guess the important thing to note over here is that we should make sure that we write our commit messages in a way that's very closely aligned to the product requirement and not just the technical requirement, because that's a given, right? Yeah. What's not a given is the business context. And maybe by helping the AI figure out business context, you know, 100, 200, 300, 400 times in a single repo, now the AI may be better suited to kind of make those changes in the future.
I think you're absolutely right. Like, based on the repo alone, it can only infer technical requirements. Like, that's the only thing that's in the repo. So, but if you're trying to think long term and you're like, I want to set up my company, my dev team, to be like fully AI programmers in like 2-3 years, you should be thinking about that data set now, and you have to somehow correlate the code changes to the business requirements. And I think one way that is you're describing is like write the commit message and like write it based on the business requirements or the feature or whatever. I think the another way might be just like tag the ticket number, like tag the Jira ticket number in your commit messages or your branch names, like put the Jira ticket number. I was saying Jira, obviously there's a lot of other ticket issuing companies, but you know what I mean? You put the ticket number in the commit message or in the branch name or something. You need something to connect the code back to the requirements written by business team or product team or whatever. And if you don't have that, then you're not going to have a data set that the AI can learn from in the way you just described.
I love it, man. This has been a fantastic conversation. Thank you very much, Brad, for sharing this with me.
Absolutely. Wonderful to chat about this, Justin. And I hope that our audience all start using an AI programmer as their assistant.
I don't think they have a choice.
They'll get left behind.
Bye.
All right.
Thank you for joining us. If you've enjoyed today's episode, hit subscribe and stay updated on our latest content. We appreciate your support.